Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, and if you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about prayer, Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray, and there were a couple of things that he said not to do, and that's what we're going to look at today. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." Now, he assumes that the disciples are going to pray. That's just an assumption of the Bible. Prayer is a part of being human. We all pray. And it doesn't matter, you know, what belief system we're anchored to. Every single belief system offers up some type of prayer to God. Mm-hmm. What distinguishes Christian prayer is the fact that we're praying to God as our Heavenly Father. There's a personal, intimate connection that we have with God because of the work of Jesus Christ. Yes. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, because he's the bridge that has connected us with God the Father. So we know him as God the Father. Therefore, we don't have to pray like the hypocrites. Well, how did the hypocrites pray? Well, they prayed like this: "For they loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." So there's this religious group that, you know, all prayer is to them is a badge of spirituality. Look at me. Look how spiritual I am. I am praying in public so people can see me and think I am one spiritual dude. Well, there's a lot of people who pray like that today. We make a public mockery of this prayer that is a privilege that we have as children of God. So there's lots of folks that love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. And here's what Jesus says about those: "Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." So if you're just praying to be seen by others and others see you, then you've got your reward. Yeah. If you're looking for spiritual pats on the back as you pray and people come and pat you on the back because you're this great, quote, prayer warrior in their eyes, then you've received your reward. Now, in contrast to that, Jesus says this: "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So again, that speaks of the personal connection that you have with God, that intimate relationship that you are in with God the Father, again, because of the work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So you can pray in secret. And it says the Father will reward you. I think that really ties to what the writer of Hebrews says about faith. You know, we must believe that God exists, and we must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Mm-hmm. That God is interested in us. He cares about us. He's attentive to us. And for those who earnestly seek him, he's there to answer. He's there to respond. He's there to give his full to them in every in every way. So we don't have to pray like the hypocrites. Why? Because we have a personal relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. And we don't have to pray like the pagans. Now, how did the pagans pray? Well, they kept on babbling, for they think that they would be heard because of their many words. So, you know, they just kept praying and praying and praying as if their God was asleep. And in many of those pagan belief systems, God was asleep, and they had to do stuff to wake him up. And so their many words would wake him up. You know, we see that sometimes in Christian circles where, you know, I can't go to God myself, so I have to get others to pray on my behalf, and I have to get great numbers. And so we think the more people praying, you know, the more we'll get God's attention, and he'll be obligated to meet our request. Well, that's kind of a pagan attitude, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, anytime you start using a multiplicity of words and or people in order to get God's attention, to get what you want, there's something wrong with that situation, that equation. Because that just reeks of us initiating to God and God being in our debt, so to speak, so that he has to respond to us. That really is paganism.
Yes.
Where you've got this God who really doesn't care about you, is probably angry with you anyway, so you try to appease him and you try to, you know, use a lot of words and, you know, snow him and maybe he'll do something for you. Why do we do that? We've got a God who is intimately interested in us, and if you're his child already, he's living inside of you.
Yes.
You don't have to babble on and on. You just get a chance to have this running conversation like you would with your best friend.
Yeah, and that's the operative word, a running conversation.
Yes.
It's a never-ending process.
Yeah.
I mean, we're never going to stop talking to God, and he certainly is never going to stop talking to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit. So yeah, as we're going through life, we're having this running conversation with our Heavenly Father. We know that he's attentive, so much so that Jesus said, your Father already knows what you need before you ask him.
Yeah.
That's how attentive our Father is to us. And that's good news.
Oh,
that really is powerful news. So when you pray, recognize that you're praying to your Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be like the hypocrites who are just trying to be seen. You can pray in secret because it is a personal, intimate relationship. You don't have to be like the pagans and babble on and on and on. You can just have this running conversation knowing that your Father already knows what you need. A lot of times when we pray, we're praying for what we want or desire, but God knows what we need. And so I think when we go to him, I think we can open up our hearts and say, Lord, you know what I need. You know it before I even ask it. And maybe I don't know what I need.
Yeah.
Here's what I think I need, but you really know what I need. So I'm open to you.
Yeah, let me know what that is.
Yeah, I'm open to you to meet my needs according to your wishes, your desires, because I know that's going to benefit me the most.
Indeed.
So
absolutely.
That's the power of prayer.
Yes, indeed. Bob and Richard, thank you for those wonderful thoughts as we get Basic Gospel underway today. Plenty of open lines, although calls are already coming in to light up the board. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, of course. 844-322-2742. And, friends, you know, our heart is to connect you to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you listen to the broadcast every day, you understand that. We want to help you walk in his grace every day. That's why we created the brand new Hear, Believe, Live daily devotional. It's a dynamic, Bible-based devotional that will help you experience the fullness of life that's yours through Jesus Christ. And we can deliver it straight to your inbox every day. We're excited to be a part of helping you hear, believe, and live the Word of God. Be sure to request your copy of this new devotional, Hear, Believe, Live, at basicgospel.net. Again, that's at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hello, Clay.
Hello, are you there?
We are here. How are you, my friend?
Okay. Oh, doing good. I really don't have much to say. Y'all just said it all. But I was wondering, you think God's got enough grace to take 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 and make it one scripture where we all read together? It says, rejoice evermore and in all things and pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks to God for this. Give thanks because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.
Well, that is a single sentence.
Yeah.
You know, the simplest thing to me, and I don't understand the way a lot of people pray, is to pray without ceasing. It's just like Richard says, it's an ongoing conversation with God. I think people are so traditionalized that before they realize that it's prayer, I've prayed for people, and they said, well, will you pray for me? I said, I just did, because I didn't assume the position and close my head and bow my head. Sometimes I do to bring reverence and stuff, but there's nowhere in Scripture that says that we have to every eye closed and every head bowed to have a conversation with God. And it's like Richard said, I get a check in my spirit every time someone prays and they're the initiator trying to get God to respond. And it's just one thing that I know, and you can correct me on this, the only prayer that God's ever going to answer is his prayer.
Well, yeah, it's what he initiates to us, and we're certainly going to talk a lot about that beginning tomorrow. Does God really hear our prayers? And if he does hear, will he answer? How can we have some confidence that he does hear and answer and will give us what we ask? And we're going to talk about that specifically on tomorrow's broadcast, so stay tuned for that, because that, I think that's an important topic.
Yeah,
but Clay, I think what's important as far as your conversation and your question is concerned is the fact that we can pray continually because God is our Father. He does care for us, and he has come to take up residence in us. So wherever we are, he is. He is with us every step of the way in every part of our day. That's the God that we know and love and serve, and the God that has come to live inside of us. So we can have this running conversation. We can rejoice always. Why? Because God is always with us. We can pray continually. Why? Because God is always with us. We can give thanks in all circumstances, because no matter how bad the circumstance is, God is right there with us. And boy, if that's not worthy of a thankful heart, I don't know what is. Because if he's there with me, then I have hope. And that just makes all things kind of change as far as the way I see life and the way I move through this life. So, Clay, thanks for bringing this important verse up. We sure appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
844, go ahead, Clay. 844-322-2742. We have calls on the board, but we would still love to hear from you. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time at Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. I wanted to ask about John 15:14, where Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you," and specifically that two-letter word there, if. If we go over to 1 John 3, we know what the commandments of Jesus are there, to believe in him and to love others as Jesus loved us. And the immediate context of that statement, right before he says, "This is my commandment, that you love each other as I have loved you." But someone might say, well, I guess I just am not doing a good enough job loving other people as Jesus loved me. So I don't know if Jesus is my friend anymore, but I really don't believe that someone can go from being a friend of Jesus to not being his friend. I think it's a permanent thing. So can you explain why he uses the word "if" in that verse?
Well, I would have to look a little more specifically at the "if," but yeah, a lot of times that can be "in as much as you do what I command," in as much as the fact that you have believed on me for eternal life. And that you are allowing me to bear the fruit of love in your life, that's kind of proof that you're my friend, type of thing. But I think we have to really kind of set this in the context. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. So again, he's directing our attention to his love for us. And I think that is so important for us in our day-to-day lives. It's not how am I doing in loving others. It's how am I doing in understanding the great love of God for me. And if I am understanding and focusing on and relying and abiding in that love that God has for me, the natural outflow of that is love for others. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the fruit of that abiding relationship. So we're to love others as God has loved us. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So what has Christ done? He has laid down his life for us. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So that expands kind of the context of friendship. Christ has laid down his life for us. Christ has made his Father's business known to us, and he certainly had made his Father's business known to the disciples. Yeah. They were in on that plan, and he commissioned them to take his Father's business out to the world. Go out into the world and teach everyone all that I have commanded, the Lord said to the disciples. So I think he's just kind of preparing them for the mission that's ahead, and laying the groundwork as far as the nature of this relationship that he has with the disciples, and projecting that forward with us as well.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I appreciate you putting that in context. And if you wanted us to feel anxiety of any kind, I don't think you would be saying that in around the same place where he says, "I want your joy to be full."
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you go on like to verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you." Well, it's not if, it's in as much as the fact the world hates you, since the world hates you. Keep in mind that it hated me first. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. So I think, you know, when we really come to know Christ, that believing in Jesus is really the command of God, that we believe in Jesus, the one whom God sent. And that really sets the table for everything else that we're going to experience as believers in Christ. So,
well, guys, thank you so much.
Well, thank you
for making yourself so available and preaching the good news of Jesus every day. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you. And you guys have a great rest of your day.
Hey, thank you, Chris. You do as well. And thanks for your good question today, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you today?
We're doing fine. What's on your mind?
Good. I had a question. I was listening to a prominent minister this morning teaching on basically Christianity being a relationship with God. At the end of the message, he prayed a prayer. And part of the prayer was, it started out saying, but basically, you know, Father, we thank you that when we really look at it, at the whole picture, you've already done everything. And he began to delineate some of the things that God has done for us. And then later on in his prayer, he said, "Then you said you gave the Holy Spirit to us to live through us a life we're incapable of living. Even after we're saved, we're incapable of living that life. It is the Spirit of God living through us in that vital, unbroken relationship. And we know that sin breaks our fellowship. Nothing can break our relationship." And I wanted you to comment on that part where he says, "We know that sin breaks our fellowship, but nothing can break our relationship," because my understanding was that through the grace of God, through what Christ has done for us, that even sin cannot break our fellowship with the Father. So I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Mark, thanks for that question. We certainly appreciate it. That's a good distinction, and something I think we really need to look at Scripture and see what it has to say. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this, "God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So being in the fellowship with God, and being in the fellowship or in fellowship with Jesus Christ is really a phrase that is saying that we're saved. So if you're saved, you're in fellowship with God. If you're lost, you're out of fellowship with God. It's really a black and white thing. And when John, in his first letter, talks about fellowship, he uses that word in the context of light and darkness. So darkness is descriptive of the lost world. It's descriptive of a sinner. So if somebody's in the darkness, they are lost. They're not saved. When you come to Christ by faith, you go from darkness to light. Peter talks about that in his letter, that we have been called as a royal priesthood to declare the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So once we're saved, we go from darkness to light. We go from being out of fellowship with God to being in fellowship with God. So if we're always in the light saved, then we're always in fellowship. Now, does that mean that we don't sin in the light, or we don't sin when we're in fellowship with God? Yeah, we're going to give in to the temptations of the world. But the fact that we're in the light, the fact that we're in fellowship with God, is going to show what that sin is and what the root of it is and what the consequences of it are in such a way that we're going to say, yuck, I don't want to be a part of that. Yeah. That's not what you've saved me to be a part of. You've saved me to be a child of light, to live as a child of light in this world of darkness. That's what you've called me to. So you can never be out of fellowship with God. You can never be out of relationship with God. You can never lose your salvation that God has bestowed upon you. Why? If you could lose your fellowship with God, then God would have to withdraw from you. God isn't going to withdraw from you. Jesus isn't going to withdraw from you. Jesus isn't going to turn his back on you. He's always with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you were going to lose your eternal life, Jesus would have to die, because your eternal life is his life. Jesus isn't going to die, because he lives, you live. You're not going to lose your salvation, because the only thing that could bring loss of salvation is sin, and Jesus has already dealt with the sin issue once and for all. All sin has been handled. So if you're saved, every single sin that you have ever committed or will ever commit has already been dealt with at the cross. It was judged. It was punished to the fullest extent of the law. Death. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died for your sins. He took the punishment you justly deserve. So when you've been raised to walk in the newness of life, you have total freedom to walk in the newness of life. There are no obstacles. There are no barriers to overcome. God has come to live inside of you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. You're saved completely. You're in fellowship forever. That's the foundation. That is the rock that you're standing on. And as you grow in the grace of God and your knowledge of the Lord Jesus, your mind is going to get in alignment with that truth.
Yeah.
That's what happens to us as we grow, when we see how precious this fellowship really is that we have with Christ. And it is the very source of joy in our day-to-day life.
Absolutely.
If you think you're out of fellowship with God, you obviously think that God's mad at you. Well, there's no joy there. There's just feelings of guilt and condemnation and restlessness and all of that. But knowing that you're in fellowship and knowing that nothing can break that will ultimately give you the joy through those rough patches in life. And we all have them, don't we?
Oh, we do.
Yeah, so I think it's so vitally important for us to really, really come to that full belief that once we're saved, we are in fellowship with God, and God is faithful to keep us in fellowship.
Yes.
It's on his shoulders, not ours. Yeah, when we blow it, sometimes we feel or we have these emotions that would say, gosh, you're just a million miles away from God. But is that true?
No.
No, absolutely not. The truth is, if you're saved, you're saved completely. You're in fellowship forever. That's good news. That's why we can call God our Father, and that's why we can go to him through thick and thin and say, Abba, Father, knowing that he knows exactly what we need before we ask him.
You're so right, Bob. Thank you for that thought. Well, friends, we're excited to be a part of helping you hear, believe, and live the Word of God. That's why we created the brand new Hear, Believe, Live Daily Devotional. It's a dynamic Bible-based devotional that will help you experience the fullness of life that's yours through Jesus Christ, and we can deliver it straight to your inbox every day. Our heart is to connect you to the love of Jesus Christ and help you walk in his grace every day. Be sure to request your copy of this new devotional, Hear, Believe, Live. It's at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for tuning in today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back for another edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.